Morning. We're on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and you may recall that yesterday we learned a Braisa, which was on the top of the Amud, and the assumption was, based on a logical analysis, that this Braisa reflected the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And the significance of that is that although Rabbi Eliezer holds that Machshirei Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos, nevertheless, as we read this Braisa, we draw the conclusion that he requires Shinui. And you do it in an unusual way. The case in the Braisa, if you recall, was a Kohen who had a mum, a yabelis, on one part of his body, and he needs to do the avoda. He has to remove this yabelis, and the braisa requires that a double shinui. Number one, he himself should not be removing the yabelis. And number two, his friend who is removing the abelis should do so not with a utensil, with a kli, like a knife, not even with his hand, apparently, but rather with his teeth. He should bite it off. And the Gemara analyzes, if this braisa were authored by the Rabbanan, then we have a serious problem over here, because the Rabbanan hold that as a general rule, forget about Migdash for a second, that's called the Alma. If, let's say, a person cuts off his nails on Shabbos, that's called Netilas Tziparnayim, then, according to the Rabbanan, it makes absolutely no difference whether he does it with a knife, which is the normal way of doing it, or whether he does it in a different way. And that's called Gozes Lidvar Rishus, like the case that we mentioned in Tilas, or Ktsitas Tziparnayim. Then the Rabbanan say the following. Now, here is a sugya that we didn't learn. This is a sugya that we learned way back in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Dalid. What is the nature of Meleches Gozes on a Doraisa level? When do you violate that Melecha? Here are the two possibilities. One possibility is that the body from which you are removing something is improved. And the other possibility is that you are in violation of this malach when you do a maisa tsuras gziza. And the tsuras gziza, the way gziza is done, when you shear, for example, wool off the back of a sheep, is with a shearing tool. And this is going to be a subject of the machlokus between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer. Has nothing to do with our machlokes about whether or not machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. This is a separate machlokes which reflects the nature and the definition of meleches gozes. And the issue is, what happens if instead of doing gziza bikli, he does gziza with his yad, or for that matter with his teeth, bishenov, Shinov. And here we have a machlokes in regarding the meleches gozes. Rabbi Eliezer puts all the emphasis on the body from which the gziza is being done. We'll call it the object or the victim of gziza. And it matters not whether you implement the Tzuras HaGziza with Yad, with Kli, with Shinov, all are equal. And if he does B'Shogeg, he's Chayev Chatos in any of those three scenarios. If he does B'Mezid, he's Chayev Skila. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, they limit Meleches Gziza to the Tzuras Gziza, the normal way in which you do Gziza, which is with a Kli. And if he does Gziza with any other method, whether it be Yad or Shenov with his Shinayim, he would not be in violation of Meleches Gziza. Now, when we get back to Abraisa for a moment, here on the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, we don't understand why the Braisa insists that his friend, the Kohen's friend, should remove the Yabeles with his teeth. Let him remove it with his Yad. And we'll soon see that that would be not only advantageous because it expands the scope of the heter, such that we would allow this shvus b'migdash even in the case of Yad. We don't have to go as far as to require that he bites it off with his teeth, but we're going to have an additional benefit if it would have mentioned that he could pull it off with his Yad because of a different Rabbi Lazar, not Rabbi Eliezer the Tana, but Rabbi Lazar the Amora, which we'll have in just a second. So the Gemara's question here on the top of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis is Nishkale Niala Biyad. Why do you limit the heter in this brisa in the case of Kohen Sholsalo Yabeles Chavera Chotfalo B'Shinov with his Shinayim? Why not introduce Yad? May I understand very well that it would be impossible to allow cutting off the Abeles, because the Rabbanan hold that Machshirei Mitzvah Einam Dochem as HaShabbos, so the Kohen's Avoda overrides the Shabbos, but not preparing the Kohen and being Machshir him for the Avoda. But on the other hand, we have a principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. And if we apply that here, we should allow removing the Abeles with a Yad as opposed to a Kli, because in the Rabbanan's frame of reference, there's no difference between Yad and Shinayim. Whether you rip it off manually or you tear it off with your teeth by biting, it's all the same, because the Rabbanan require a Tzuras Meleches Gozes. But if, on the other hand, we're going to attribute this Braisa to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, then the Braisa is advocating Shinui, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, which means on a Doraisa level, Rabbi Eliezer makes no distinction between the Kohen's Avoda on Shabbos and anything that's necessary to prepare and be Machshir the Kohen for the Avoda, because Machshir Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos. But this Braisa is being machadesh, is introducing a brand new, a breakthrough, radical revolution in understanding Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer, although machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, he requires a shinui nevertheless. And the shinui that we want to achieve, again, I'm just giving you a preview of what's going to come around the bend here in this sugya, is the shinui, the radical shinui of shinayim, because the shinui of Yad is a little bit too similar to Kli. It's not far removed enough in order to satisfy Rabbi Eliezer's requirement of shinui. Again, we only know about this requirement of a shinui according to Rabbi Eliezer from this braisa. If not for this braisa, we would have no proof to assume that Rabbi Eliezer requires a shinui. After all, if Machshir Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos, and the Torah allows this, why do you have to do it b'shinui? And that, again, as I mentioned yesterday, has to do with Hutra versus Dechuya that we touched upon yesterday. But without getting into this, let's just understand the Gemara's dissection of this brisa, that this brisa reflects the shita Rabbi Eliezer and is telling me a great chiddush that Rabbi Eliezer requires shinui even though machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, and he requires the shinui all the way from not kli all the way over to the shinui of yad, and not only yad but all the way over to the shinui of shinayim. But if on the other hand we attribute the authorship of this brisa to the Rabbanon, then once we're in the level of shinui, and the Rabbanon are going to say that shinui lowers, downgrades the violation from a doraisa to a Rabbanon, and it becomes a shvus. He's not violating gozes with the tzuras because he's a doraisa of a kli. Then what difference does it make whether he uses a yad or he uses shinayim? Both should be equal. Again, for Rabbi Eliezer, we have a radical chiddush here that we need shinui. We didn't even think we needed shinui. But according to Chachamim, the only reason we could be matir on Shabbos in the case of chatichas yabolas from the gufa shel kohen is not midin machshirei mitzvah, but midin ein shvus b'migdash. And therefore, if ein shvus b'migdash, why not tell me that we don't need this radical shinui of shinayim? We can satisfy ourselves with a lowercase shinui of yad. And the Gemara says that if the Braisa would have formulated the principle of the heter of chachamim biyad with a yad, without mentioning this more radical, far-fetched case of shinayim, then v'tifshot d'Rabbi Eliezer. This is where we're up to for today. V'tifshot d'Rabbi Eliezer, which you'll see a little bit above Tosis Dira Maskel Hachi Garcinon, or a little bit below, if you like, Tosis Dira Maskel Shal Olsolo, right there in the middle, v'tifshot d'Rabbi Eliezer. Again, make sure we say it right, Eliezer without a yud, because we're talking about a statement of an Amora in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Dalid Omid Beis. And the word tifshot in this particular context doesn't mean what it usually means. Usually the word v'tifshot means that there was a suffix, he vacillated back and forth, and now we have a proof. No. That's not what the word v'tifshot means here. Here v'tifshot means we can accept the halacha of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar never vacillated, never had any doubts about the halacha. But we weren't sure if we accepted Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar wants to teach us that Om Rabbi Lazar machlokes biyad avo bekli divrei hakol chayav, which means the following, that the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, and the Rabbanon, in that sugya on Daf Tzadi Dalet in Masechta Shabbos of Ktzitzas Tziparnayim, where Rabbi Eliezer the Tana included all cases of gozes under the Malacha Doraisa of gozes, meaning whether it's biyad, whether it's bekli, whether it's bishinayim, all the above are a violation of a Doraisa, chayav a Karban Chatos for Shogeg. The Rabbanan disagree. And all the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Eliezer is that you're not Chayav. So comes along the Amora Rabbi Lazar and he says, wait a minute, don't misunderstand the Chachamim. They didn't exclude all cases of Gozes, meaning as if to say that Gozes only applies in an animal, like, for example, to be gozeis semer from the back of a sheep, which was the case in the base in the Mishkan. But they agree that this gozeis even begufo shel adam, but, says Rabbi Lazar, only in the case of kli. And now, if this brisa would have been authored by or attributed to the Chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer, applying the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, then it would have been more appropriate for the Braisa to use the Lashon Yat, meaning let's allow him to remove the wart manually. That would have been a clear-cut indication that Bikli would be a violation of a Doraisa. And we would have gained a great deal. We would have been poshet, we would have accepted the conclusion of Rabbi Elazar, that the Chachamim Amodim le Rabbi Eliezer, that there is a violation of a Doraisa with the Chiv Chatos in Gozes in the case of Ktsitas Tziparnayim, when somebody cuts his nails. And that would have been derived from this Braisa, had the Braisa mentioned Yad, to tell me Yad Lafuke Kli, that although Ein Shvus B'Migdosh, that's only when you reduce it from a Doraisa to a Drabbanan. And how do you accomplish that goal? By using your Yad as opposed to a Kli. So those two terms, or those two concepts of Kli versus Yad, are sort of flip sides of the same coin, where Kli becomes the paradigmic way, method by which most people on a weekday would cut their nails, whereas Yad is an unusual way. People don't usually cut their nails with a Yad. And the focal point here of the Braisa, had it mentioned Yad, would have been to tell me that the reason why the Rabbanan allow this on Shabbos is because it's a Shvus. He is only removing the Yabelis with his hand, as opposed to with a Kli. And that would have, as we said before, proven Rabbi Lazar's contention that the Rabbanan Amode, that even in Gufo Shel Adam, there is a violation of Melechus Gozis Doraisa, but only in the case where he uses a Kli, and not in the case of using Yad. Meaning, to summarize, what the Gemara is analyzing is that the use of the term shinayim in this braisa seems to put all the emphasis on shinui, meaning the chiddush of the braisa, the whole thrust of the braisa is to tell you that you need a shinui. And once you need a shinui, we can set up gradations of shinui, and there's shinui, lowercase shinui, we'll call it Shinui on the second level, and then there's the highest level of Shinui, the most radical Shinui, which is Shinayan. Had this Braisa been authored by the Chachamim, then on the contrary, the Braisa should have shifted the emphasis from Hilchas Shinui to tell me about the Doraisa, meaning that we can only we have to limit this heter, this leniency of allowing the removal of the abeles on Shabbos to a case of gozes derabanan, implying that there would have been a gozes doraisa here, even in gufo shel adam. And that would have given us the breakthrough of Rabbi Lazar, tifshot had Rabbi Lazar, that machlokes biyad, aval bekli, devyakol chayev. The machlokes in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Dalet about the definition and the scope of Melechus Gozes is limited to a discussion about Yad. And it was Rabbi Eliezer who took that position that even B'Yad, you still violate Melechus Gozes Doraisa. But the Rabbanan did not disagree that there is such an entity as Melechus Gozes Doraisa. You could violate a Chiv Chatos in Gziza Migufo Shel Adam, but only if you use a Kli, which is the normal way you would do it during the week. So that chotech min achai, even if the chai is not an animal, where we're shearing off its wool, is a tolda of Melechus Gozes. So the av is going to be gziza mi'algabe son, and the tolda will be gziza mi'gufo shel adam, and that only applies as a violation of a Melechus Chatos, a Chiv Doraisa, if he does it the normal way, says Rabbi Elazar, the Amora Rabbi Elazar, that's if he uses a Kli. So that the Braisa would be telling us that the reason why the Rabbanan allowed removing the abeles of the Kohen on Shabbos is because he's using his yacht and not a kli, implying that the diak would have been had he used a kli, that would be a violation of a Doraisa, which, according to Rabbanan, is not mutter on Shabbos because machshirei mitzvah einam dochem es haShabbos. But now that the Braisa mentions that the heter is only bechitach hayabels bishinov with his teeth, then the Braisa is not reflecting the sheet of Rabbanan, which would have been nice because then we could have had the diuk of had he used the kli, it would be also Doraisa and support Rabbi Loza, but rather the Braisa is to be attributed to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. And the whole thrust of this Braisa is now telling us that even Rabbi Eliezer, who's matir machshirei mitzvah on Shabbos, and he's doche Shabbos, but he's only doche Shabbos because he's doing it with a shinui. Now again, I said it in a very extreme way. This is really misleading. Let me just make sure that we understand that when I say that the only way that Rabbi Eliezer will allow the removal of the yabeles of the Kohen to be machshir for the avoda on Shabbos is only if he does it b'shinui, that's not really so. What it means is that Rabbi Eliezer advocates in favor of a shinui, requires a shinui, if it's possible. If lo yitzur, there were no possibilities other than to do it kedarko, in its normal way, and not kilachar yad, then Rabbi Eliezer would certainly go back to the doraisa and machshiri mitzvah dochim es haShabbos. But the Braisa wants to tell you that if in an ideal situation, you should employ a shinui. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question: L'taymech l'Rabbi Eliezer nami lishkalei niel abiyad. You really didn't answer your question. Why did the Braisa require shinayim? Even if you hold that the Braisa is attributed to the authorship of Rabbi Eliezer, and you want to break through, but tell me that Rabbi Eliezer also agrees that you require a shinui, even though machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, why mention shinayim, which is so much of a more radical kind of a shinui? Why not suffice simply with yad? Hi, Mai, says the Gemara, Iyamet bishlema Rabbi Eliezer. Once the breakthrough shita here of the Braisa is to tell you that Rabbi Eliezer requires a shinui, is then I could understand why Rabbi Eliezer insists on shinayim, and it doesn't suffice to do it with yad. Why? Because yad is too close to kli. Hainu, why do we say that the Kohen has to get his buddy to bite off the yabeles and not rip it off with his hands? Degazar yad otu kli. That the fear is that if you use this lowercase shinui of yad, he might come from yad to use a kli. Yad and kli are somewhat similar. But by requiring a higher level, a more radical kind of a shinui, namely netilas yadayim, netilas yabeles, with shinov, then we're not afraid that he might come to use a kli, because shinayim and kli are so far removed one from the other, this is no chashash that he might come to do so. Now again, keep in mind that even if, you know, the worst case scenario, he would have cut off this yabeles with a kli on Shabbos, he would still not be violating Meleches Gozes, because Rabbi Eliezer maintains that machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. But the Braisa wants to tell us that machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos only beles brera, if you have to violate the Meloch. If you could do it with a shinui, then that is required. And now we want to do it with a shinui in a way that you'll guarantee that he does it with a shinui. How do we guarantee that he'll do it with a shinui and he won't do it with kli? If our whole goal is to make sure that he shouldn't be violating a real, full-fledged, genuine melechas, melacha d'oraisa for the sake of machshirei mitzvah, because that's what we want to avoid, and the halacha requires, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that l'chatchila we look for a shinui and we circumvent, we avoid violating a malacha d'oraisa, then in order to guarantee that goal, we want to require shinov. Ela iamit rabbanani. Whereas if you would have attributed the authorship of this brisa to the rabbanon, and the rabbanon are saying that there's no shvus b'migdash, and they were matir chituch yabeles in a shvus situation, which means that he doesn't do it the normal way. Well, the rabbanon in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Dalet hold that as long as you're not using a kli, then you're in a shvus mode. You're not in a violation of the doraisa, because the rabbanon define meleches gozes as a tsuras maisa gezizo, and that has to be kedarko. Is nishkale niela biyat? From that perspective, there should be no difference whatsoever between yad and shinov. Why? Because our goal is to reduce it to a shvus. Now you may say, well, let's be afraid that if we allow him to take off the abeles with his yad, he might come to violate a malacha d'oraisa of gziza b'kli. But the answer is that's only a gzera, that's only a shvus, and there's no shvus in Migdash. In Migdash, we're not afraid they'll go from there to there. And therefore, nishkale niela biyad. And again, that would imply that had he used the kli, it would be absolutely also forbidden, because machshir mitzvahim dochem es haShabbos, and the violation of malachas gozes d'oraisa would apply if he uses a kli. And that would teach us and establish Rabbi Lazar's statement that b'kli divrei hakol chayav v'sulo midi, and there's no more room for discussion over here, because there's no question about it that the Rabbanon would allow removing this yabeles with a yad, and the reason for that is because yad is not the kedarko, it's kelachar yad, and therefore it is a shvus, which is mutter in the mikdash. Okay, that's a completion of the sugya that we started yesterday, and that leads us to the new Mishnah here on the beginning of Kuf, on the middle of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Truth be told, Rabbi Osa, I was thinking of starting today with the Mishnah, especially if anybody wasn't here yesterday. But, you know, I decided, let's do a Dover Sholem and finish the sugya without skipping it. Now, the Mishnah, again, is going to discuss the difference between Migdash and Medina on Shabbos with regard to a Shvus Rabbanon. But here, we're introducing the Shvus of Refuah B'Shabbos, that we don't allow on Shabbos therapeutic methods. And that leads us to something called a gemi. So I see we have a doctor here, so maybe Mitch will help us out here. But the assumption here is that this gemi is something therapeutic. What is it exactly? I can only tell you what it says here in the Hebrew translation. He says gemi is min esev knei sof. Now, kanim are reeds, and sof, you know, is yamsuf. So they're reeds that are taken from the, you know, from the marshland that border on the water, on the bodies of water. And these reeds apparently have a, you know, have a soft kind of grassy shape to them. Now, we think of reeds like, you know, schach that we put on the top of our sukkah, but apparently, you know, that kind of reed, which is dry and hard, I don't think you could put on a wound. Here we're talking about a kind of a reed that's grassy in its substance, and it has apparently some sort of chemical, medicinal benefit for a wound. So it's something that you put on a wound. Now, if we were talking about a regular Jew who's not a Kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash, then placing this gemi on a wound on Shabbos would be a violation of the Issur D'Rabbanan Gzeira of Refuah on Shabbos. But the Mishnah says that Kohen Shalok Abetz Ba'o, if the Kohen has a wound on his finger, And we're not talking about a case where he's a balmum. Even if he's not a balmum, then nevertheless, in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have shvusim. Is korech oleha gemi b'migdash. He's allowed to wrap this gemi, this reed grass, around his wound in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's a refuah. And even though Chachamim said that refuah is prohibited on Shabbos, unless it's a sakon, of course. But nevertheless, this kricha has a relationship to Migdash. He's doing it in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we had Rav Yosef Shita, if you recall, the other day, that if he does it outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't apply Ein Shvus b'Migdash. But here he's doing it in the Migdash. And Rashi adds another element into the equation. Rashi says, Dibra Maskel Korech, that it's not respectable to do the avoda in the Migdash when his hand is covered by a gemi. It's not derech eretz that he should appear in the yadzara, do the avoda with a gemi wrapped around his makkah. And it seems that Rashi holds that Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies when there's some relationship between the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash. You know, it's not just that a Kohen happens to be standing within the confines, the location of the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Shvus B'Migdash means that there's some action which would be prohibited on a Shvus level, and the action is now being permitted in the Migdash because it is for the sake of the avoda. Again, keep in mind, Rabbi, so we're not talking necessarily about a mum, right? Because then we would allow even doraisas, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, in Machshirei Mitzvah, which are dochem es haShabbos. So we can talk about what's called a mum over, you know, a wound that's going to be healed. So that doesn't make a permanent infliction in his body, such that his body is not complete. It's a mum over, but nevertheless, we have the Issur Refuah. And Ein Shvus B'Migdash is going to apply over here. Because when the Rabbanim made a gzera, they said they want to be marchik a person, they want to keep him far away from a malacha, possibly violating a malacha Shabbos Doraisa. But in the case of Migdash, when the Rabbanon instituted Gzeira, they didn't apply it in the Beis HaMikdash because within the confines of the Migdash, we say that a Shvus is Mutter, and that's for the sake of Tzorech HaMikdash. And we're going to add the principle called Kohanim's Rizimheim. So if the Kohanim are doing what would normally be outside the Migdash, a Shvus, but they're doing it in the Migdash for the sake of Tzorech HaMikdash, you have two conditions that are checked off. Number one, it's tzarech hamikdash. Number two, it's nasem al yidei konim and konim's rizim hem. Then we're not afraid that he's going to come to violate a malacha da'oraisa. Now, if the kohen, according to Rashi, happens to be in the mikdash, but he's not up, you know, on the on-deck circle for avoda, and therefore, putting on this gemi would be his own personal need for a refuah, and it would make no difference whether he was a kohen in the Migdash or Yisrael, a hedgehog outside the Migdash. There's no relationship whatsoever to the avoda. The kohen is just a rank-and-file citizen that happens to be in the Azara, but there's no tzorach for the avoda. Then Rashi would prohibit it, because Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies, as we said before, L'Tzorech HaMikdash, but not for his own personal Tzorech, for his Tzorech Atzma. Now, there's a sugya in Masechta Pesachim. You know that Pesachim is the next Masechta online after Erevin for us. And that sugya is the sugya of Korban Pesach. And there, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Nosson. And Rabbi Nosson says over there in Masechta Pesachim Samech Hei that Shvus she'eino litzorech avoda is asura afilu b'migdash. And the Gemara speaks about what's called hadochas ritzpas hazara. Now, hadocha, in those days when they had stone floors and they were full of dust, I'm not talking about migdash, I'm talking about even in a personal home. So then, when you were washing, you know, like sponge, the floor of your house that was full of dust, the Chachamim were afraid that he might violate a melacha d'oraisa. So again, I'm not going into that question, but in any event, hadochas haritzpa, anywhere in the on the face of the earth, is an isa shvus d'rabbana. What about hadochas ritzpas ha'azora? And in the case of the azora, it was really necessary to keep the floor clean, because as a result of the shechita, especially the Korban Pesach, you remember that the Mishnah describes, you know, the 14th of Nisan, the azora was like full of dam because of all the myriad, high volume of shechitas Korban Pesach. So the Chachamim will say that you're allowed to clean up the ritzpa, the azora, and do this hadocha, and violate a shvus of hadochas haritzpa, because ain shvus b'migdash. And Rabbi Nosson says no, that it's not for the tzorach of the avoda of the migdash, meaning that the avoda per se, which is, you know, Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam and Holoch and Zrika, that's not dependent upon Hadochas Hazora. Hadochas Hazora may be Litzorach HaMigdash, but it's not Litzorach HaVodas HaMigdash. And here's where we have a Machlokas in Pesachim between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim. Whereas the Chachamim will expand the Heter of Shvus B'Migdash even to a case where it's not Litzorech HaVoda, but it's Litzorech HaMigdash, Rabbi Nosson limits the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash to a case where it's Litzorech HaVoda Shebemigdash. And therefore he will prohibit Hadochas Ritzpas HaZora on Shabbos, if Yudalid happens to coincide with Shabbos. But keep in mind that even the Rabbanon, who expand the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash to include Shalom Litzorach HaVoda, but they require at least Litzorach HaMigdash. So cleaning up the Azora, the Ritzpas Azora, is considered Litzorach HaMigdash. If a Kohen who never has a wound happens to be inside the Migdash, and he wants to apply this therapeutic method of Gemi, but it has nothing to do with the Migdash at all, had he been outside the Migdash, he would have needed the same kind of a treatment, he happens to be located in the Migdash, that's coincidental, then even the Rabbanan would say that we don't apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, because it's not Litzorach HaMigdash, he just coincidentally happens to be located in the Migdash. So in any event, getting back to Rashi, Rashi insists that in this case the Kohen is on deck for the Avoda, and it's not covered for the Avoda to be wearing to have this wound, and therefore he wants to do whatever he can to cover up the wound, get rid of the blood, and so on, and he applies a gemi. That's litzorach. Now, whether it's litzorach ha-migdash, because it's not a covered for the migdash, that the Kohen is exposing this wound, or it's litzorach ha-voda, that would depend upon the machlokes between Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbanon. But certainly, the Kohen's finding himself in the Azora as a matter of coincidence, when he's not in any way involved in the Migdash, he just happens to be in the Migdash, then we would still apply Shvusim, and therefore Rashi insists that to allow the Kohen, as the Mishnah does, to be Korech Oleh Gemi, that's only in a case where he is connected to the Avoda, and he is allowed to violate this, what normally would have been a shvus, a gzeret rabbanon of refu on Shabbos, and that's going to be mutter in the Mikdash because it's Litzorech HaMikdash. Avalo b'medina. Okay, so refuah is a gzera shvus d'rabbanan, which is prohibited, and therefore gemi on a makah is prohibited. The im lahotzi dam kan v'kan osu. Now we have a violation of a melacha d'oraisa. That's one way of learning this Mishnah, and that's called lehotzi dam. And then we have to investigate exactly whether or not this would be netilas neshama when you take out dam from a makah, assuming this dam is infectious. So he wants to get rid of infectious blood, and he ties this gemi down very tight so that infectious blood will be removed from the makah. And that would be usur if you assume that this is a violation of Melechus Netilas Neshama De'oraisa. So that would be usur even in the Mikdash, because the kula of the Mikdash is Shvus, but not a Melecha De'oraisa. So that's one way that we could have possibly interpreted the Mishnah. Rashi, Dibra Maskel V'im, has a different take. What's the difference between the Reisha of the Mishnah of what's called Korech and the Sefer of the Mishnah, which is called Lahotzi Dam? Is Rashi says the difference is that Lahotzi Dam requires Mahadek, not just Korech. Mahadek es hagemi. And what does Rashi mean by differentiating between Korech and Mahadek? So I have a long note here that highlights two sources. One is a Rashi in Masechta Zvachim, and Rashi is supported by a Rambam in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, and the other is the Magen Avraham. I mean, it sounds very strange, you know, that we're comparing Rashi in Zvachim with the Magen Avraham, who's one of the great Achronim, you know, probably 4.5 centuries ago. I don't know exactly, but more than 4 centuries ago. One of the great commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, I'm going to start, believe it or not, with the Magen Avraham, because I have vested interests here. He's much closer to what I thought was pshat in this Mishnah. And the Magen Avraham interprets Rashi in the following way. He says that even in the case of Korech, where he wraps the gemi around his wound, he is going to remove dam. However, he says that that's not called a maisa. And here's the difference between hiduk and kricha. That if your goal is to violate an isa d'oraisa of hotzas dam, that would require a maisa. And herein lies the difference between hiduk, says the Magen Avraham, as opposed to kricha. Kricha basically means that he places this gemi, which we call the grass, on top of the wound. And the Magen Avraham claims that in such a case, he niach davar shemosheich me'atzmo es adam. That's the language of the Magen Avraham. What I think the Magen Avraham means is that sometimes you can place an object on top of a wound, and what happens is the weight of the object, so to speak, removes the dam. I know that sounds a little bit odd, but again, the language of the Magen Avraham is davar shemosheich me'atzmo es adam. that davar, which in this case is the gemi, is responsible for being moshech the dam. So I'm adding the element of gravity here. But maybe, I don't know, Dr. Mitch is here, maybe he'll tell me that there's some chemical substance in the gemi that actually removes the dam. I don't know.
It's like gauze, it absorbs.
Oh, it absorbs. So then I think it's not that there's some sort of chemical that sucks out the blood, but rather it's just the placing on it just absorbs the dam. So that's called me'atzmo. Moshech es hadam me'atzmo is the way the Magen Avraham describes the efficacy of the gemi. Masha'en came in the case of hiduk, which is not kricha, where hiduk, according to the Magen Avraham, is a maisa of hotzas hadam, when he actually ties the gemi in a very tight way, that is defined as an action of hotzas dam. And the nafkimina between hiduk and kricha is whether or not he violates any sutorah. So that's beautiful, because I think we were in the right direction, according to the Magen Avraham, that we're dealing with the question of whether he violates a melacha d'oraisa. In this case, I have no choice but netilas neshama. And the Magen Avraham introduces another element into the equation in order to explain Rashi, and that's the maisa. Is there a maisa of hotzas hadam? Or is the gemi moshech es hadam me'atzmo? And the question is whether we can allow this in the Migdash, so that if we're dealing with Korech, so that could be permissible in the Migdash because Ein Shvus b'Migdash. But once we're dealing with an act of Hiduk, that's called a Mais of Hotzas Dam, which incurs a violation of Issa Torah, that has to be prohibited even in the Migdash. And that's the Sefer of Abrais. However, now we have another source, and that's Rashi in Masechta Zvachim. Rashi in Masechta Zvachim says that there's no difference between Kricha and the Sefer of our Mishnah. In both cases, the Reish and the Sefer we're talking about Kricha. In other words, Rashi in Zvachim does not introduce the element of Hidu. That's Rashi here, but not Rashi in Zvachim. All it says in our Mishnah is Lehotzi Dam. So Rashi in Zvachim says that Lehotzi Dam reflects on his kavana. What is his interest over here? Says Rashi in Zvachim, Ha'isur toli bekavana, ein chiluk bein maisim. Here there's no difference between the Kricha mentioned in the Reisha and Lehotzi Dam in the Sefer. And the difference is if it is his kavana lahotzi dam, or it's not lahotzi dam. The Rambam actually spells this out explicitly in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. So again, according to Rashi and Zvachim, it could be that even in Kricha, which the Magen Avraham describes as a davar ha-moshech as adam mi'atzmo, but if he places this kricha of the gemi for the express purpose of lahotzi dam, then he violates the melacha d'oraisa, not because we objectively define this as a maisa hiduk, meaning as a maisa of kricha, which entails actively removing the dam, like we said, when we tie it very tight. No. He's not tying it tight. He is, even the Sefer, placing the gemi on the maka, on the wound. However, that itself will qualify as a maisa otzas hadam, even though, again, it's mi'atzmo. But when you do something which places something on top of his wound to remove the dam, then if that substance, which is the gemi, will remove the dam, as Mitch said before, it absorbs the dam, it sucks out the dam, that itself is considered hotzas dam. and violates Netilas Neshama. But what is going to be the determining factor whether I view and define Kricha as Hotzas Adam? The answer is Kavana. And here I would like to add, and Rabosa, you've been with me many times, I've said this over the name of the Rav, Zichron Levracha, that the machlokas between the Rabbanan, in this case Rab Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda about Dover Shenim is Kavain, does not apply when Kavana is an essential, integral, critical part of the Malach itself. The Rav said this by Makav Patish. He applied it by Malachas Seda. I mean, we had long, long discussions about this. I would not have applied it to Hotzas Dam if not for the Rashi in Zvachin. And even in the case of Hotzas Dam, Kavana, in the case of Gemi, of Hanochas, or Krichas, Gemi al Hamaka, Kavana becomes a critical variable in defining the Malacha as a Malacha Netilas Neshama. The action per se, objectively, could be viewed in one of two ways. I could either look at it as Hotzas Adam, or I could say that the Dam is Yotza Miatzmo, meaning Miatzmo Shel Gemi. What will determine and upgrade this action of Kricha to an action of Meleches Hotzas Adam? It's Kavana. And I say this to emphasize that even Rabbi Yehuda, who normally disagrees with Rabbi Shimon and holds Dover Shenim is Kavin is Chayav, he would agree in this case that Kavana is a critical element. We don't have to insist that our Mishnah with the Nukimta reflects Dafka the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in Dover Shenim is Kavin. And therefore, Lehotzi Dam means with Kavana, because otherwise he will violate a Doraisa. No. This is not Rabbi Shimon. This is even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because to upgrade the status of Kricha to that of Hotzas Adam, we need that extra element of Kavana. Again, Mashal Ma Dover Dom, I don't mean to compare it, is Makav Patish means that I decide that this is the necessary finishing touch on my hammer or whatever it might be. That decision on my part, that intent on my part, makes it into Makav Patish. Or, for example, you could have two people doing an act of tzeda, and one has kavana to be tzad, and the other doesn't. The kavana makes it into a meleches tzeda. All right, let's learn the sugyas haGemara. Now, the Gemara is now going to address three different dinim that are relevant to Avodas HaKohanim B'Migdash. Number one, the din of Chatzitza, because the Torah says, V'lokach, that the yad of the Kohen, when he takes up the Kli Shares, has to have direct contact with the Kli Shares. Number two, the Gemara is going to address the issue of Chatzitza between the guf of the Kohen, the naked body of the Kohen, and the begadim that he's wearing on his body. There can't be a chatzitza between his guf and the begadim. And number three, an additional din, that if a Kohen wears extra begadim above and beyond the big day kahuna that he's required to wear, what is the din in such a case? Does the addition of unnecessary surplus Gadim undermine his status as Lavush Big Day Kahuna, and therefore completely vitiate the Avoda itself, because Bizman Shebigdam Aleim Avodasam Aleim, that the Avoda, the Kohen, requires the critical Big Day Kahuna. Now, our Mishnah says that a Kohen who has a Makah in his etzba, he wraps it around with a Gemi because of the principle Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Now, the question here is, where is this wound and where is the Gemi, which we're allowing him to put on his Makah in the Migdash on Shabbos? Om Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rab Chia Lo Shanu Ella Gemi Aval Tzaltzel or Tzaltzul Katan Havi Yisur B'Gadim and therefore it's osur. Now, the Isur that Rabbi Yehuda is formulating, he has nothing to do with Shabbos. This is going to be a problem for a Kohen during the week as well. Why? Because if he takes some sort of a belt, and it's a beautiful belt, and he uses it now to wrap around his wound, then Rabbi Yehuda says that even during the weekday, he's not allowed to do this. This tzaltzul, this chagorah katan, is going to undermine his avoda and passel his avoda if he wears it, even during the weekday. Forget about Shabbos. So that Rabbi Yehuda, when he learns our Mishnah, and he limits our Mishnah to a situation of krichas gemi, he's telling us a new halacha in Yitur Begadin, that if a kohen adds a beged, a piece of cloth, which he ties down to his body, it becomes an extra beged that he's wearing. He's no longer wearing 8 begadim, he's wearing 9 begadim. He's no longer wearing 4 begadim, he's wearing 5 begadim. I mean, depending on whether he's a kohen edge or a kohen gadol. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo amru yitur begadim ela b'makom begadim. Aval shalo b'makom begadim is lo avi yitur begadim. Now, the way I understand Rabbi Yochanan, and you could argue against me, is that the Adayim don't lend themselves to begadim. You cannot consider the etzba as a place that lends itself to levishas begadim. In other words, the rest of the body has begadim bigdei kohuna that are designated, you know, the michnasayim here, and the he has to wear a mitznefes or whatever he's wearing on his head, on his body, and so forth and so on. Those parts of the body are covered by bigdei kohuna. Now the Adayim, there are no bigdei kohuna that he wears on the Adayim. And therefore, it's not considered yitur begadim. In other words, even though there's no doubt that if you put gloves over your hands, that's called begadim, those are begadim. But as far as bigdei kohuna is concerned, your Adayim don't lend themselves to bigdei kohuna. And that's called shalo b'makom begadim. So the fingers of a kohen are not called makom begadim. And if they're not called makom begadim, then clothing or cloth that you put on the etzbos, which is shalo b'makom begadim, are not called begadim. And therefore there's no yitur begadim. So we have now machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, Breid, Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Yochanan as to how we define yitur begadim, or for that matter, how do we define bigdei kohuna. And whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that the makom begadim will define the beged, meaning in the absence of makom begadim, like for example, let's suppose, there's no such thing as bigdei kohuna, hence there's no yitur begadim, he's not wearing an extra beged when he wraps a gemi around his fingers. Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rabbi Chia holds that anywhere in the body, which again outside of the strict confines of bigdei kohuna would be considered begadim, if it qualifies as begadim in kol dinei Torah, then it's begadim even as far as a kohen is concerned, even though we're absent makom begadim. So that Rabbi Yehuda is forced to limit our Mishnah to a case of gemi as opposed to a tzilzul katan. Because if he puts this belt around his hands, he's in effect wearing an extra beged, which would undermine his avoda, passel his avoda, even during the week. And therefore, to allow this for the sake of the avoda would certainly be prohibited. Now, again, Rabbi Yochanan might agree that our Mishnah would not allow krichas tzaltzul katan, a chagorah katana, on Shabbos because it's not called litzarech avoda. And Ein Shavus B'Migdash would not apply in this context. But To go as far as to say that a tzaltzel cut on a chagor ktana, as Rabbi Yehuda would have it, is going to undermine his avoda, that's not acceptable from Rabbi Yochanan's point of view. So now the Gemara says the following: if you want to differentiate between Gemi and this case of a tzaltzel in terms of our Mishnah, forget about Yitur Begadim. I don't have to introduce the element here of Yitur Begadim. I have a more fundamental problem here. And that is V'tepekle Mishum Chatzitza. And now the Gemara is asking Akasha on the Mishnah itself. You know, whether you have Rabbi Yehuda's limitation or Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah says explicitly that for the sake of the Avodah, he's allowed to wrap a gemi around his hand. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, wrap a gemi around his hands? What about Chatzitza? The Yad Kohen has to be in direct contact with the Mizrak, with the Kli Shares, in which he receives the Dam. How can the Mishnah allow wrapping a gemi around his etzba? What about the halacha of chatzitza? Now, this touches on various issues way beyond the confines of the Kohen and the Avodah and Migdash. I mean, we have other issues about, about chatzitza. And I would say the following, that there are two types of halachas, and the nafkamina is going to be chatzitza. You have halacha where you have to do a maisa. You have an object, and you have to do a maisa on the object. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a lulav on the table, and the Torah says, ulekachtem lachem. So you have to do a maisa lekicha on the lulav. You're wearing gloves, let's say. Just giving you an example. And that should separate and form a chatzitza. I don't know. Again, I'm not Rabosai. Don't quote me la halacha. You know, this is like a corona issue that I take up on Wednesday afternoons. You know, there were those who wanted to advocate that if you have a communal set of dalet minim, then they should be wearing gloves. So each person, you know, has antiseptic gloves, you know, and he should take the dalet minim, and then the next person takes it with his gloves. There should be no contact, you know, between the hands and this. So the poskim talk about chatzitza. But I'm just saying in theory, you know, just in a theoretical world, I could argue that ulekachtem lachem means that you have to take the lulav. There's chatzitza between your yad and the lulav. Who cares? That doesn't undermine the lekicha. But there are other cases where you need direct contact. For example, in mikvos. So the Torah says al basaro. So the basar has to go into the mayim. And it's got to be connection, direct touching between the mayim and the basar. Here's where chatzitza will be an issue. So that I might allow you to wear gloves when you pick up the lulav on yontif, but I would not allow you to wear gloves when you're jumping into a mikvah. And our sugya is operating with the premise that when it says v'lokach ha-kohen, that the kohen takes up the kli shares into his hands, and then he's makabel the dam in the kli shares, he needs not just a maisa lekicha on the klisharis, but he needs negias basar. Hence, we have a problem of chatzitza. Now, let's assume that this gemi on his wound will separate his yad from the klisharis. So the Gemara says, I don't understand how the Mishnah could allow this for the sake of the avoda, that he wraps a gemi around his hair. Now, how many hands does a person have? Right? He has two usually. And the avoda of the Kohen could actually be implemented with one of those two hands without the other. In avodas HaKohen, there's a separate halacha of Yad Yamin. So the Gemara answers, Bismol. In other words, he wraps the gemi in our Mishnah around the wound on his left hand. If he has a wound on his right hand, then he can't wrap up anything around his wound. Anything he puts, even a gemi, will be a chatzitza. Let's say he has a wound on his right hand, but it's on the kafayad. How do you say kafayad in English? The outside of his hand. Okay. And there, it doesn't form a chatzitza between the inside of his hand and the klisharis. So the Gemara says, Upliga de Rav. We have another opinion that rejects Rabbi Yochanan, and that's the dissenting view of Rav. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a psul of Yiter B'gadim, but it doesn't apply Shalom B'makom B'gadim. So we're talking about Kohen that has something on his basar. Is b'makom b'gadim afilu nima achas chotzetze shalom b'makom b'gadim shalosh al shalosh chotzetzos pachos mishalosh shalosh enam chotzetzos. Rava maintains that there's a psul of yiter b'gadim not only b'makom b'gadim but even shalom b'makom b'gadim. The only difference is that if it's b'makom b'gadim, in other words, he has something that separates his body from the big day kahuna, which are worn on those makomos of his body, not the hands in this case, is then even one hair, one thread, will be a chatzitza, because we require that the big day kahuna be al besara, connected to his basar. And in the note here, he quotes a pasuk in Vayikra, Perkvav, it says, U'michnasei bad yilbash al besaro. And the Gemara says in Masechta Zvachim, that if it's not al besaro, if the big day kuna are not directly on his body, if there's something separating his body from the big day kuna, his avoda is psula. There's a very famous Beis HaLevi about what happens if he has a chatzitza between one beged and the beged on top of it. Because the pasuk only says al-besaro, for those begadim that are worn directly on his body. Now, the strange thing here is that in mikvah, as far as tefillah is concerned, one hair would not necessarily be a chatzitza to undermine his tefillah. You need what's called Rov HaMakbit on a Doraisa level. So we're not sure exactly how to reconcile the halacha of Chatzitza in Tvila with the halacha of Chatzitza in, for example, Big Day Kahuna, where we said in Big Day Kahuna, Zafilu Neima Achas is a Chatzitza. In the case of Tvila B'mikvah, we say that it has to be Rov HaMakbit. So this is a question that's addressed by all the Achronim here on Masechta Erevin, the Gaon Yaakov, the Rambam Sada, the Sfas Emes, and the Avi Ezri. I mean, they all come up with a distinction between Big Day Kahuna and Tvila Ben Mikvah. If I remember correctly, the Aloch of Chatzitza, the Gemara said at the beginning of Masechta Erevin in Tvila Ben Mikvah, is Aloch LeMoshe MiSinai. So it may have its own rules and regulations. In any event, in the back of the Masifta, there's something called the Yalkut HaBi'urim, and he has a major piece here going through like an anthology of all the Achronim to understand why Neima Achas is a Chatzitza in Avodas HaKohen, whereas it's not a Chatzitza in Tvila B'Mikvah. So again, let's just say the following. That if you're talking about a chatzitza ben gufo, lib gadov, in the case of a kohen, then it's afilu neima achas. But if we're talking about a case where the kohen is wrapping something on his hands, on his fingers, which is not a makom begadim, then there is chatzitza, but only shalosh al shalosh etzbos. We need a beged. And the beged has to have a minimum of shalosh al shalosh etzbos. And that has to do with tumah v'tara in terms of tumas begadim. But again, according to Rava, once you have a beged, you are in violation of Yitur Begadim, even if the beged, which has a chaloshen beged because it's shalosh al shalosh, is shalo b'makom begadim. And that's the chumra of Rava above and beyond Rabbi Yochanan. Now, what would be the relationship here between Rava and Rav Yehuda? Let's go back to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that they allowed krichas gemi, because gemi is not a beged, but if he takes a tzaltzul katan, which is a chagorah ketana, that's already yitur begadim. And the premise that we can work with is that according to Rav Yehuda, there's yitur begadim, even shalom b'makom begadim. Whereas Rav Yochanan disagrees. Now we have Rava, and the Gemara says upliga de Rava. I think what the Gemara means by upliga de Rava is that Rav Yochanan's statement is against Rava, because Rava obviously recognizes a yitur begadim situation, even shalom b'makom avoda, in the case of shalosh al shalosh, shalom b'makom begad. Let me just think if that's correct, what I just said. Oh, I see it's very late. I didn't realize what the time was. Oh, so that's going to be our next sugya tomorrow, Mir Tzashem, to try to compare Rav Yehuda Breda Rav Chia to the statement of Rav. Rav certainly cannot be reconciled with Rav Yochanan. Can we reconcile him with Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rav Chia? So that's here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, and that's where we'll B'li Neder pick it up tomorrow. Thank you very much.